Aeneas on the black side. As a teenager, Natalie Cole was much more fascinated by the music of Janis Joplin, the Jefferson Airplane, and the Beatles than she was by the recordings of her famous father, Nat King Cole. Maybe it was just the natural teenage reaction to parents, because as she matured, the voice of this lovely, gifted artist became extremely mellow and very soulful indeed. She's already recorded 5 hit albums and starred in her own TV special. We're going to hear the song that won her not one, but 2 Grammys right after this message from Social Security. Some of the changes made in the Social Security law in 1977 only took effect this year. One of these changes can be important to you if you are a divorced woman. If you were married for 10 years or more before your divorce, you can get Social Security benefits on your former husband's earnings record when you're eligible. If he becomes disabled or retires after working long enough under Social Security, you can get monthly checks at 62. You can get payments as early as 60 if your former husband dies. Before this new legislation was passed, you had to be married 20 years or more to be eligible for benefits on your ex-husband's earnings record. For more information about Social Security protection for divorced women, call or write any Social Security office. Someone there will be glad to help you. All Social Security offices are listed in the phone book under Social Security Administration. Now let's listen to Natalie Cole and This Will Be. In her own right, Natalie Cole, and This Will Be. Well, once again, it's time to go. And once again, it's time to remind you that you must apply for Social Security benefits. They do not come automatically. If you have any questions, just visit or call any Social Security office. They'll be glad to help you. Until next time, when we pay tribute to another genius on the black side, this is James Earl Jones saying so long.
That's pretty awesome.
Tell me that that doesn't restore a little bit of your faith in the United States government.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
I would do anything James Earl Jones told me.
Somebody sat down and researched all these things, wrote out those scripts, gave them to James Earl Jones and said, here we go.
Yep.
There was one sentence in there that you could hear James Earl Jones struggling to get to the end of.
Yeah.
Because it just went on and on and on. Yeah. So you know it's not, whoever wrote it
The copy was bad.
Isn't somebody who's used to writing like tons of copy for a voice actor.
Yeah. But he's great.
Yeah.
I love the one with Chic La Freak. And he goes, let's listen to Chic La Freak.
We'll get to La Freak before the end of this month. There's a bunch of great ones in here.
Yeah, we should play. We'll play a few of these for this month.
Yeah, we'll throw one out every week. And, you know, it's a tradition.
Do a little something black.
It's a tradition I'm glad to bring back.
Yeah, this is nice. In the background, I got 8-bit Imperial March.
That's nice.
I figured a nice follow-up with that.
I feel like I'm playing Super Star Wars again.
Yeah, remember Super Star Wars, Super Empire Strikes Back, Super Return of the Jedi? Those were super.
Stupid hard games.
Super. Now, I got something for Black History Month, and I'm kind of giving it away. I'm kind of giving it away.
Is it
saying it's Black History Month, I'm kind of giving it away. No, it's an artist who is doing something a little bit different. I don't know if you've heard this before. My guess is you probably have, but it's an artist, and he's doing something that's very different than what he normally does, and it's a very odd, very strange track, and I'm going to play it, and then we'll come back and we'll tell you what it is. You're listening to What Is This on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle. Derek Gary is with me.
Hi there.
And James Earl Jones of the Social Security Administration, that counted as a PSA, which is nice.
That's brilliant.
So we are all set with PSAs for the rest of time here.
Remember, you have to ask for those Social Security benefits. They do not just show up automatically.
Let me play what I got for you for Black History Month, and then we'll come back and we will talk about this next track.
New coat, huh? That's nice. Did you buy it? Yeah, right. You seeing that bitch motherfucker again? You know who I'm talking about. That slick back patty with all the gold in his mouth. Don't try to play me for yesterday's fool. Cause I slap your ass into the middle of next week. I'm sorry, baby. That's the rules. I pay the rent in this raggedy motherfucker. All you do is suck up food and heat. Say what? Oh yeah. For someone who can't stand them TV dinners, you should have eaten enough of them motherfuckers. Who bought you that diamond ring? Yeah, right. Just when you have a job. You seen that rich motherfucker again. What's his name? Bob. Bob. Ain't that a bitch? What's he do for a living? Manage rock stars. Prince, ain't that a bitch? That skinny motherfucker with the hard voice. Please, who do I look like, baby? Yesterday's fool. Don't you know I will kill you now? You're right. I got a gun. You think I don't? Then what's this? Oh, you quiet now. Little. Yeah, right. Might be little, but it's loud. Yeah, right. Now put that suitcase down. Go in there and put on that new wig I bought you. No. The reddish brown one. Bob, ain't that a bitch? Come on. George home? Hello, Mr. George? This is your conscience, motherfucker. Why don't you leave alone? What's wrong with you? Why can't we just dance? Why can't we just dance? No, f that. I don't talk about you. And your little almond shaped head ass. F you think this is? I'll kick your ass. Twice.
Alright, I'm gonna speed it up just for a couple of seconds here and get an idea who that might be.
New coat, huh? That's nice. Did you buy it? Yeah, right. You seeing that bitch motherfucker again.
And then I'm gonna slow it down a little bit. So, mostly just to annoy everybody. So, who is this, Derek?
Well, it's Prince.
Yes.
Is this one of those like 2 a.m. recording sessions of his? Yeah.
So he did this for Sheila E.'s birthday party in 1987. It ended up on the legendary Black album.
Ah, yes.
Which did come out in 1994. And by that point, it was considered tame.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's called Bob George. And it's a very odd recording. And it's one of the only recordings that has Prince literally swearing left and right. And he's playing the role of a pimp. And he's basically talking to a hooker, and he also is complaining about Nelson George, who is a critic at the time, who was giving him a hard time about his Purple Rain shows. He wrote a bad review about one of his Purple Rain shows, and also his old former manager, whose first name was Bob. And he threw this together with two other songs for Sheila E.'s birthday party in 1987. It was played all through the Love Sexy tour, and it was really cool, because he ended up... finishing his first half, which was all dirty songs, or what was considered like early Prince and the dirtier stuff. And then he came out with Love Sexy, which was all about love and
yes.
His finding God and moving on and stuff. And the character of Bob George he plays, and he gets shot down and killed. And then the second half starts, and he is met Spooky Electric, who is his version of heaven. And it was really cool. And me being a big Prince fan, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bring something up that a lot of people probably haven't heard before. It's such an interesting song.
I remember listening to the Black Album back in the day, which is why I know that song.
Yep.
And it always struck me as being like Prince versus Art of Noise.
Yeah,
because everything in the background sounds an awful lot like Art of Noise, and the way that he's pitch shifted his voice is very Art of Noise.
It's interesting you say that, because Tom Jones and Art of Noise from in 1987, they redid Kiss, and it was a hit.
They did.
It was on MTV, and it was a pretty big hit, and you're right, with that drum beat there, it's very similar to it.
But you know what I was thinking of when I listened to it? Give me some volume over here.
Yes.
Because this little gem, which I had completely forgotten about,
mm-hmm.
Recently made its way back onto the playlist for the 80s at 8 on Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a little bit of this for you.
Hey, baby, how you doing? Come on in here. Got some hot chocolate in the stove waiting for you. Listen, first things first, let me hang up that coat. Yeah, how's your day today? Did you miss me? You did. Yeah, I missed you too. I missed you so much I followed you today. That's right. Now close your mouth, cause you cold busted. That's right, now sit down here. Sit down here, so upset with you, don't know what to do. And my first impulse was to run up on you and do a Rambo. Whip out the jammy and flat blast both of you. But I ain't wanna mess up this $3,700 Lynx coat. So instead, I chill. That's right. Chill. Then I went to the bank, took out every dime. And then I went and canceled all those credit cards. Yeah. all your charge counts.
Yeah.
I stuck you up for every piece of jewelry I ever bought you.
Yeah,
that's right. Everything. Everything. Did fly with me. Nah, don't go looking in that closet. Cause you ain't got nothing in there. Everything you came here with is packed up and waiting for you in the guest room. That's right. What was you thinking about? Huh? What are you trying to prove? Huh? This with the juice. You know, I gave you silk suits, Gucci handbags, blue diamonds. I gave you things you couldn't even pronounce. Now I can't give you nothing but advice. Cause you still young. That's right, you still young. I hope you learned a valuable lesson from all this. You know, I'm gonna find somebody like me one of these days. Until then, know what you gotta do? You gotta get on out of here with that Alley Cat coat wearing, hush puppy shoe wearing, crumb cake I saw you with. Cause you dismissed. That's right. Silly rabbit tricks are made for kids. Did you know that? You without me like cornflake without the milk. It's my world. You just a squirrel trying to get a nut. Now get on
out. Of course, the Ronettes with Walking in the Rain.
Orange Juice Jones,
right? Yeah. I remember that one.
That was great. And, you know, I thought about doing a Rambo on your ass. What? And I love how he's sitting there. He's like, oh, I got all this money and I got all this. I didn't want to mess up my Lynx coat.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
The early stuff was all about the dozens, which was, you know, rhyming and then also putting people down, you know, and all those early rap records were like that. It's so good. It's like all the rap and soul and the funk. Really good stuff.
I remember like everybody loving this in 1986 when it came out, mm-hmm. which is around the same time, by the way, that Prince does this thing.
Yeah.
And so he probably heard this and knew about this.
Yes.
And certainly knew about The Art of Noise. And almost as soon as this was a hit, it just kind of disappeared and it was forgotten about. Because by the standards of what was going to make pop radio in 1986 and 1987, mm-hmm. this was too much.
Yeah. Walking in the Rain, I think, was a little earlier than that. And Prince on the Black Album, they had another song called Dead on It, which isn't that good, but he was actually making fun of rap and how rap isn't going to work out. And then a few years later, he has like his own rapper after he gets the New Power Generation. He actually hires a rapper to be in his band and stuff. So he saw, he was hoping it wouldn't last, but it did. And he's making fun of like the early rappers like Run DMC and some others and the Fat Boys and things like that in there. But
well,
Black Album's great album. Super Funky Califragis, actually one of the best songs ever. Cindy C, all about Cindy Crawford. Yeah. Awesome, awesome tune. And La Grind, it's one of my favorite Prince records.
I love La Grind.
Yeah, so good.
La Grind stacks up with any of the best stuff on his first couple of albums, but it is far more pornographic in nature. Yep. Than a lot of those songs.
It's very dark, and then he shelved it, and then came out with Love Sexy, which is also a great album.
Yeah.
So a little Prince, and I think maybe in the next couple of weeks for Black History Month, I think I'll throw a little rare Prince item in there for you. I've got so much in my catalog, and
nice.
There's some great unreleased stuff that I've got, or some live versions. One of the things that I actually have, and I managed to get a hand on, was one of 50 hat boxes. That they passed along to people outside of Paisley Park after Prince died. And I managed to get my hands on one of these hat boxes. And inside is a T-shirt for a Hawaii show and a book from the Hawaii show and a disc from the Hawaii show that was never released.
Nice.
So I'm going to play the Controversy Live from that from that Hawaii show.
Nice.
On there over the next couple of weeks. And I got some other stuff too.
There's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
I got some rare tracks floating around, but nothing quite on that level.
Yeah, I'm a big Prince fan and have been for many, many years, and always great to pull out some rare items, and this is a good forum for it with What Is This?
I think we talked about this. You've seen the news footage that they found of him from when he was a little boy, right?
Yes, yeah, it's amazing.
Where they're asking him about the teacher's strike.
It's great.
He's like, I think the teachers need to be taken care of. And it's like, that's Prince!
Yeah. It's like grown-up Prince right
like,
there.
Like, what a nice little boy that is.
That's right.
How did you grow up to do those things to Sheila E.? What happened to that little boy?
Super focused and right on point and, you know, looking out for everybody.
That little boy just wants some love.
It is a shame. Yeah, drugs do bad things to people.
They do.
Yeah, he's one of my heroes, and unfortunately he goes. And Tom Petty, same year, you know, same thing to drugs.
Yeah.
It's bad. Yeah, it's too bad. But, so we got a few other things here on the playlist. What else did you pull out for us today? I actually got some Star Wars promos that I can do.
What?
Remember, I think I pulled these out once for you. They're radio promos. From 1979, before they were actually, you got them from joining Lucasfilm fan club. And on the fan club newsletter was a phone number. And you called the phone number and you could listen to one of five promotions for The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes. And you played these for...
a number of years ago for something we did.
Yeah. You played these on Thanksgiving one year. And everyone hated them.
And no.
And everyone hated them. You played those. I played something else.
No, you played C-3PO and R2-D2 doing the Christmas song. And yeah. I think I wanted to say I did a Star Wars Christmas song, too.
I
don't think I played the promos on that Thanksgiving one.
Here's the thing that I know. I know we did a Star Wars round. And
everybody hated it.
Everybody hated it.
Except for us.
And I wound up. I wound up winning that round because people hated mine less than yours.
Yeah.
So that's how you win sometimes on these things. Did we ever? No, we did not.
We should have Orange Juice Jones week. Yeah.
I think that's the only... Did he ever record anything else?
Oh, sure.
I don't remember there being like a big career
He had a full album.
Orange Juice Jones.
Orange Juice Jones still alive. He's 65 years old. It says he's worth about... No, that can't be right. 3.8 million. No, that's OJ Gaming. That's not Orange Juice Jones. Orange Juice Jones, his real name is Juice.
His real name is not Juice. There's no way that his real name is Juice.
His name is Orange Juice Jones. And what is his real name? No, I think he was born Orin Juice Jones.
No,
yeah, he was.
No.
Orin Edward Jones.
Orin is his real first name.
Yes.
Juice was a nickname.
Yeah. My dad used to say Orin Juice. I told you that. He always dropped the G and the E off of orange. He'd like pass the orange juice like all the time. I don't know why he talked about orange juice so much because we didn't even live together. We weren't having too many breakfasts together, me and dad. But anyway, what are you looking up? Star Wars?
Yeah, well, I've got a couple of things that I could do here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking up Star Wars. If you want to play the Star Wars thing,
why don't I play this five of them? And they're all about 40 seconds each, and they're awesome. So you basically, if you were a kid in 1979, you had already seen Star Wars a whole bunch of times in the theater, because that's really the only place you could see it, and they keep re-releasing the film, which is what they did back then. They would have the film go out for like 2 weeks and then they put it back in and say, limited time only on Christmas, come see Star Wars again. And there was never like 30 seconds of extra footage. It was basically an old scraped up film that's been played hundreds and thousands of times in the theater. So by the time you got to see the re-releases, they were all really, you know, poor copies of film. But so if you joined the Star Wars Lucasfilm newsletter back then, there was a phone number and you could call up and you could hear one of your favorite Star Wars characters come to life. There was C-3PO starts it off, and then there was Han Solo, and there's Leia, and there's Luke, and then finally there is Darth Vader. So these are late 1979 right into 1980 phone messages from Lucas Online.
$1.99 per minute. Kids, get your parents' permission before you call.
I don't know if there was actually. I think they were just. They may have charged for it.
It was $1.99 a minute. Everything was $1.99 a minute.
Yeah, it was probably.
That's how they made money on all those things.
So this first one is C-3PO setting you up, and then I'll play them through. Han Solo, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker, and Darth Vader. You're listening to What Is This on WMFO in Medford.
Hello, I am C-3PO. And this is the first of a series of messages on the special Star Wars telephone line. Each time one of you on Earth calls this number, you will receive a message giving information on the continuation of the Star Wars saga, The Empire Strikes Back. After Star Wars, I hoped that all my adventures were over, and R2-D2 wouldn't get us into any more trouble with his secret missions. But in The Empire Strikes Back, it just gets worse. First, there was that dreadful snow planet. I thought I'd never be warm again. Then we were attacked by Imperial stormtroopers, and when we got to the Cloud City, I just went all to pieces. Oh, dear. I can't go on. Talking about it is too upsetting. You'll just have to see it for yourselves when The Empire Strikes Back comes to a theater near you on May the 21st, 1980.
Till I ran into Ben Kenobi and Luke Skywalker, I had myself a pretty good little operation. They wanted a ride to Alderaan, and they're willing to pay enough so I didn't have to ask any questions. Now I'm in the middle of a rebellion. I'm spending half my time dodging Imperial ships and the other half avoiding Her Holiness. Not only that, but Jabba the Hutt's got a price on my head, and he's put Boba Fett on my trail. Something tells me it's not going to get any better when the Empire strikes back.
The destruction of the Death Star was a major victory for the Rebellion. But our battle isn't over yet. Darth Vader and the evil forces of the Emperor keep a stranglehold over the galaxy. But the Rebel Alliance must and will succeed in forever ridding the galaxy of their scourge. Even now, in our secret underground base on the ice planet Hoth, new strategies are being planned. See for yourself in The Empire Strikes Back.
Tatooine was just a big ball of dust until R2 and 3PO showed up. But since then, my life hasn't been the same. From a moisture farmer on a remote desert planet to a leader of the Rebellion fighting for freedom throughout the galaxy. But now the Rebellion faces even greater odds, and I must be ready. I must follow Ben Kenobi's teachings, learn more about the powers of the Force and becoming a Jedi Knight, if I'm going to be prepared for a confrontation with Darth Vader. See it when The Empire Strikes Back.
The Empire Strikes Back comes to a theater near you on May the 21st.
They managed to rescue the princess and to destroy the Death Star, but this time, the rebels won't be so lucky. The power of the Death Star was insignificant compared to the power of the Force. And with Obi-Wan Kenobi gone, I am the master. See it. As the Empire Strikes Back.
See, that's pretty awesome. If you're a kid in 1979 waiting for Empire Strikes Back coming out, that's awesome. You call up and you get to hear your favorites that you haven't... And you know, 2 years is forever
It's not as awesome as getting your Boba Fett figure in the mail, but it's up there.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Boba Fett figure in the mail was the big one in 79. It's so like, I got Boba Fett's.
Yeah, I do have some info on that. So Craig Miller was the guy's name. He was Lucasfilm's first director of fan relations. And of course, the phone system went down. It was actually free. It said this was before this telephone system was completely computerized. There was a lot of mechanical switching equipment and specific prefixes limited to geographic areas. 521 was in Illinois, so they set up phone lines to answer calls in that state, promoted the phone line at sci-fi conventions through clubs and specialty publications like Starlog, who carried the story. The first week the system went live, so many people called the number, AT&T couldn't handle it. They were so overloaded, the system couldn't handle generating busy signals for all the calls. Do you remember when you didn't even get a busy signal when you called a radio station?
Yes.
It would just like hang up on you?
Or when you called Ticketmaster trying to get you two tickets?
That's right. Yeah. So the 800 system for Illinois crashed, shut down for several hours. AT&T insisted that they keep additional phone lines open and issue a press release taking the blame. And Star Wars, Craig Miller and Lucasfilm was supposed to take the blame for it, even though it was AT&T that made the mistake. They issued a press release to all media and said, "We're sorry that Star Wars fans were so eager to get information on the sequel, and it wouldn't be out for another 5 months. Their calls overwhelmed the phone company. You could call yourself now and increase the number of phone lines and listen to the messages at the number. The story got covered everywhere. Best publicity we could ever have." So, as soon as they broke down the phone lines, they basically used that to say, this is going to be the biggest movie ever.
Yes.
Pretty interesting. Cool stuff.
Gee, it turns out some people like this Star Wars thing. Who knew?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's 1979. Come on.
See, Empire was huge. It's still my favorite movie. I was 9 when that came out.
Yeah.
And I saw that 100 times in the theater. I mean, they played it for free all the time. On the weekends, I used to get dropped off at the mall and just, you could walk right in and watch Star Wars. It was great.
Empire. It's still a toss-up for me between the first one and the second one, which one I like the most. The second one is the better movie, but it also doesn't have all the sort of learning as you go technical issues the first one did.
And the cantina scene.
They're both fantastic.
Yeah,
there was... That's one thing, is the second movie really kind of dialed back all the droids and weird aliens that the first one had, and I think suffers a little bit for that.
Ah, you got some great characters, though. My favorite droid's in it, the probe droid. And the Wampa's fantastic, great creature. Yoda's in it, for God's sake.
He's got IG-88.
IG-88's fantastic. Yeah, but the probe droid's awesome,
too.
IG-88 doesn't do anything until he's IG-11.
I skip the Yoda scenes when I watch it now.
Yeah, you seen all, you're all up to date on your Mandalorian.
We
right?
just watched that episode, the final episode of season one on Monday night.
Because you haven't seen all of season two of Mandalorian?
Oh, no, I have.
Oh, okay.
But Bobby watched them when he was an infant
and
doesn't remember them.
All right.
So we're going through them all again in anticipation of the new season kicking off next month.
Yeah. All right. That's fun.
I got one. I got one for you.
All right.
No intro. Just we'll let this rip and let people figure out.
Sure.
What is this?
In a basement in 1959. The Golden Rule is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of two great nations run in my veins because I offer free enterprise opportunity to those chained to a dull, futureless job and a drab existence. I am many things. I am many people. I am 80,000 living souls and the spirit of millions who have lived and died so that men might be free. I'm the spirit of French fur traders and the voyageurs, the Americans crossing the continent in covered wagons. I'm the spirit of the 49ers. I'm the combined enthusiasm of a New Orleans Mardi Gras and a Calgary Stampede. And I am brotherhood of Scottish, English, French Canadians, mingled with Italian, Irish, Negro Americans, and many more. My colors are the red and white of the flags of two great nations, and the blue of the sky that spans them both. I am the spirit that built the Canadian Pacific Railway and the Mackinac Bridge, the St. Lawrence Waterway and the Panama Canal. I can build dreams as big as you can conceive. I am large and growing, sprawling from Atlantic to Pacific now, and my arms reach out to embrace Alaska and Hawaii and Puerto Rico. My industry is making life better in quiet villages, in cities that never sleep, and on millions of farms, because uncommon men and women have had the God-inspired faith to follow my quest across forest, field, mountain, desert. You can look at me and see the glory of the past, the growth of the present, the promise of the future. I have been a dreamer, a builder. I have worked hard to create a success story that men said could not be done. Yes, these are the things I am. I was born in freedom, and God willing, in freedom, I will spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom, a beacon of hope, a wellspring of free enterprise opportunity to all the people of this great land. This is my wish. This is my goal. And this is my prayer in this year, 1968. Almost 9 years since I was born. I am Amway.
You remember Paul Harvey?
That's Paul Harvey.
That is, of course.
The great
page
Paul
Harvey.
Page 3, page 2, one of the greatest broadcasters of all time.
God, I love Paul Harvey.
I love it. It was at noon on BZ every day.
Yeah,
right?
And plus they did the other thing at like 4:55 on BZ, which was the rest of the story.
Yes.
Where he had described some whole thing, and then at the end of it was like that. You know, where he says, "I am Amway" at the end, and at the end of it, he'd reveal what it was that he was talking about. Fabulous talent. Dearly, dearly missed.
Very good, yeah. I was going to do this as a regular thing for today, but we can have it in the background because it's fun. You remember Moon Patrol, right?
I'm listening for that bling, bling.
Yeah, that's the jump.
Yeah.
probably, arguably, one of the best, if not the best, video game themes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hands down.
This is a great, great song.
This is a solid, solid track. And part of the reason you'd want to play the game was to listen to this.
It's got rhythm.
Yeah.
It's fun. Kept you in the mood. And the thing is you had that little moon cart, or the moon buggy, and you're like, it really felt like you were rolling along with the song. And so in Moon Patrol, it was what, 82 or 83?
82, I think.
Yeah. Tato. Right?
It licensed in the United States by Williams Electronics, but originally developed by Tato in Japan. Yes. Yeah.
And you played this little moon buggy, and you had to shoot rocks or shoot things up in the sky, like some alien ships. And you had mines.
You simultaneously had to jump over like little dips.
Crevices.
Little dips in the
moon
surface
rocks.
And rocks and rolling logs and...
You were right. Licensed to Williams for distribution in North America.
One of the aliens would fire bombs that would make craters in the road if you didn't take them out quickly enough.
Mm-hmm. And what was interesting about Moon Patrol 2 is somehow in the background, we have already settled on the moon. There's all these giant city on the moon. That's like, when did we do that?
It's just like a routine day driving around the moon, and then these aliens show up and wreck everything for you.
It says the gameplay is you play the role of a Luna City police officer assigned to Sector 9, the home of the toughest thugs in the galaxy.
Ooh.
The player controls a moon buggy. It travels over the moon's surface, viewed from the side as it moves toward the right. Craters and mines and other obstacles on the ground must be shot or jumped over. Three types of flying UFOs attack from above and must be shot down. One of the flying enemies has a weapon which creates a crater when it hits the ground.
Yep.
That was always a pain. And then you had that end there when you finished it.
Yep, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just the sound effects of the jump and the firing blended in so beautifully with this music. It was just like, it was one of those games where you could sort of time things out with the music if you knew what you were doing.
It's 41 years later, and it's still really one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yeah.
It's Moon Patrol. An incredible thing happens when a person takes control of Williams Moon Patrol.
It's better than that Pac-Man theme.
It's definitely better than Pac-Man. I was 11, I think, when the Pac-Man cartoon came on, and I'm like, this is kind of embarrassing. And I considered myself a big arcade guy, and I'm like, this ain't the Pac-Man that I would think.
Why is he wearing a hat?
Yeah, it's like, why is he talking, and why is he wearing a hat? It's like, Pac-Man just eats.
Why does he have red boots on? Like, what? Who is this?
I saw some animation of a person making a Pac-Man in a horror movie. And Pac-Man comes out and just eats, like, you know, there's a dot in midair, and this thing comes out and eats the dot. That's just this monstrous thing. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool looking Pac-Man. If they did like a reality Pac-Man. On SNL last weekend, Pedro Pascal was on, and they did Super Mario Kart as a reality.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny, I thought, because they're based it on, you know, Last of Us is on. And I'm like, that was pretty cool. I'm like, that's kind of funny, you know. Changing video games into these dramatic things.
I've seen the video with the sound off because it popped up at work, and I was like, what is it? And it's like, oh, okay, it's that.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched The Last of Us.
I haven't either. Maybe we can talk about that next week. I'll try to watch a little bit of it this week. Atari released Moon Patrol for, listen to this, the Apple II, the Atari 8-bit family, Atari 2600, Atari 5200, the Atari ST, the Commodore 64, the VIC-20. Remember the VIC-20?
I had a VIC-20.
Yeah, the IBM
PC.
I had
a 64.
And a TI-99-4A. Versions for non-Atari systems were published by Atari Soft label. Still one of my favorite games of all time. And if I go to the arcade, you know, like the fun spot or whatever, and I put in a quarter somewhere, I still play Moon Patrol.
I see Moon Patrol. I'm going to play that.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite games. I would say it's probably in my top 10 of favorite quarter games.
That's one of those games that I used to fire up on the emulator and play to the very, very finish, which is financially impractical.
Yes, yes. It was five major checkpoints, E, J, O, T, and Z.
Yeah.
So it went through the alphabet. and it got progressively harder.
It did.
And you could actually beat those games back
Although
then.
The reality is it didn't really get that progressively harder. It just threw things at you in different combinations.
Yes. And you had to use your wrist more to move that buggy back and forth.
You just had to figure out the timing of it. It wasn't necessarily like faster. There was just more stuff. You know? And it's like, all right, I got to shoot here and jump here and, you know.
Yeah.
Wiggle the stick a little bit, but none of it was like super, super difficult. Mm-hmm. Although when you're a kid and it's a quarter of a shot, you're sitting there, you're like, this is the hardest game ever. I can't play this.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna play something for you and you tell me what it is, Derek. You ready? Here we go. Ready? What is this? Franzi Yang is the man's name.
Well, it's yodeling, obviously, but...
It's one of the best yodelers of all time.
Yeah.
Franzi Yang.
Is he yodeling for a particular purpose?
He's on television, and it's a 60s program.
Someone's paying him to yodel?
They invited Franzi to this television show, and he comes on. And the video is amazing. Just him yodeling is amazing. This is a learned skill. This is not something that you're born with.
No.
Yodeling is something that you have to master. But if you have some time, I implore you to look up Franzi Yang, and you will see some great yodeling.
It's something
I can never do.
It's going to be tough for me to get past the urge to just grab a bottle of Chardonnay and rock out to Hocus Pocus by Focus, you know, which is like that great like late 70s afternoon combination.
Mm,
yeah, drink some wine and listen to some Hocus Pocus by Focus.
You ever been to the... Oktoberfest,
like the actual like October, like in Germany.
Yeah, they do some. Don't they do yodeling in Germany too? I know it's mostly Swiss.
No, Germany they just like hit you for looking at them funny.
Yeah, that's true.
I haven't been to Oktoberfest. That's definitely on the bucket list. My wife has been over to the beer halls over there. I have not.
Little Alpine yodeling, and he's got like a little Swiss rap in here. Pretty good. You ever want to do this?
No.
Yeah. Yodel is an English word derived from the German yodeln, which means to utter the syllable yo. They created a whole new brand of music out of it. Just by saying yo.
I don't think this
yo,
is...
Yo, MTV Raps.
I don't think this is going to fire up the ladies. You know? Like when you're a kid,
isn't that interesting though? There's got to be some kind of link between yodeling and yo MTV Raps.
Because I want to know. I want to know this guy's backstory, because this is the kind of thing that you learn as a very small child, and then your father dies in a hideous yak accident, and to honor his memory, you go on to become the greatest yodeler of all time. It's not bringing in the ladies. You know, like you think about like a lot of the celebrities that we know, you know, especially in the world of music, like Mick Jagger was doing it for the ladies. Mm-hmm. Tom Petty freely admitted that he got into music because it was the only way a guy who looked like him could get a girl.
Yeah.
This guy is not doing this for the girls.
Listen to that low pitch chest register. Pretty good.
You know, this guy is either trying to cope with his father's yak accident.
Yeah.
Or he is perhaps promoting communism.
Instant craze, a national craze for yodeling, happened in the United States. You know that? It was after us. But yeah, in like the 50s, 60s, people are mesmerized by this. I guess Sound of Music a little bit.
Yeah.
Is there yodeling? There's yodeling in Sound of Music.
There's the Sheepherder song. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Puppet Show has yodeling in it.
Yodeling around the world.
I was certainly aware of yodeling when I was growing up, and I remember that it was popular at one point in time. I just never understood why.
It's you're just saying yo over and over again, according to that. That's how they created it.
The whole point of it in the mountains was it was a way to communicate with each other across the vast distances of the mountains.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, you'd yodel at people, and they'd yodel back, and you knew what you were saying.
Yep.
As entertainment... Other than, you know, Ricola commercials, I don't find...
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good yodel, the Ricola commercial. Ricola!
Yeah.
He's not saying yo in that, though, so I don't know if that's actual official yodeling.
No, it's yodeling, and he's got the other guy's got the big Alpen horn with him.
He's not saying the yo, though. According to this, the original intent was to say yo over and over again.
They blew the Alpen horn to tell you that the yaks had cleared the path and it was okay to come down and get beer.
It said that there's African-American roots and the American blue yodel. Yodeling used by black entertainers long before it became a national craze in the late 1920s, Charles Anderson and Monroe Tabor performed under the stage name of Alabama Yodeler or the Yodeling Bellboy.
Nice.
While Beulah Henderson was famous as America's only colored lady yodeler.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe I'll find Beulah Henderson for next week.
Yeah, see if you can track some of that down.
Because this guy's as white as can be, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an alpine thing. They're all pretty white up there in the mountains.
It's true. They don't get a lot of sun.
They get too much sun.
This cowboy yodel is, too. There's like Gene Autry had his own little cattle brand of yodeling. On Bluebird Records, Down the Old Cattle Trail was considered a yodeling record.
That was more yodeling at the cattle to get them to do things.
Yeah.
Than yodeling for sport or fun. But again, I it's like learning to play the kazoo.
Yeah.
No kid is sitting there, you know, at the age of 14 saying, you know, if I study kazoo really, really hard and become the best kazoo player in the world, all the girls will want to be with me. Mm-hmm.
Never know.
That's not why you're doing
Sometimes people don't want all the girls to be with them. Sometimes the boys, or sometimes just leave me alone.
Yeah, I'm just...
Creative types like to be left alone.
Oh, I know.
I get angry, I get angry at myself, and then I get super creative.
I'm not disputing. I'm just saying that there are certain entertainment ventures that you get into...
Yeah.
Not because they're sexy.
Yeah.
Not because they're going to make you a multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
But for the sheer love of the art or the challenge of the skill.
This leads right into what I did last night. Like, I made this. Are you ready? Listen to this. What is this? Are you ready? Tell me what this is. Know what this is?
This is what happens after you've been listening to that Prince song. And it's 2 in the morning.
A little break, right?
It's 2 in the morning and you're in the recording studio.
It is the bloop from the Flintstones. Along with the fart sound at the end of I Bet You They Don't Play This Song on the Radio by Monty Python.
Nice.
And I mixed them together to make up bloops and farts, I call it. This is what happens when you have a little extra time on your hands.
That's good.
On a Tuesday night before the radio show.
That's good.
Pretty good.
It's 2 a.m.
You like it better than the wrestler?
It's 2 a.m. The scotch is running low. I'm in front of the computer. It's like, what am I doing here? We've all had those nights.
All right, I'm gonna put a little Eurythmics on here. This is interesting because Dave Stewart is actually singing on this one.
What?
It's My Baby's Gonna Cry acoustic on What Is This with Chris and Derek. Be back in a moment. Enjoy.
So good, but you have to be so bad. You could make me happy, lover. You make me sad. There's a cool breeze blowing out the flame that used to burn inside me at the mention of your name.
Now there's a cool breeze blowing down the track. That's where I'm going and I'm never coming back.
My baby's gonna cry. My baby's gonna cry. My baby's gonna cry tonight. Oh yeah. Tonight. Oh yeah. Well, as nothing comes from nothing, that's what they always say. Didn't mama tell you that's the price you have to pay?
Why, you can't have your piece of cake and eat the sweet thing too. But that kind of understanding isn't good enough for you.
My baby's gonna cry tonight. Oh yeah, tonight. Oh yeah, tonight.
bye bye, bye bye.
Fed out of the inmate. Bit of a bum cord in there, but it's quite good. Quite good. The bum cords, we'll be saving that for like. So, what other ones? Name some of the album. I can't remember.
I'm a little weenie looking for a bun, just a teeny weenie, itty bitty one. If I keep a cooking, I'll be overdone. Pickle an onion, hot dog, in the pot of boiling, getting soaking wet. Hope they know I'm in here, hope they don't forget. I'm a little frankfurter to wait and to be yet. Pickle an onion, hot dog. There's mustard on the table and a bottle of Piccalilli, but I can't find a bun to make a hot dog. I've even got chili. All the other weenies had a lot of fun making up a hot dog, every single one. I'm a little weenie looking for a bun. Pickle an onion, hot dog. Just a teeny weeny, itty bitty one. If I keep a cooking, I'll be overdone. Pickle an onion, hot dog, in the pot a boiling, getting soaking wet. Hope they know I'm in here, hope they don't forget. I'm a little frankfurter waiting to be et. Pickle an onion, hot dog. There's mustard on the table and a bottle of Piccalilli, but I can't find a bun to make a hot dog. I've even got chili. All the other weenies had a lot of fun making up a hot dog, every single one. I'm a little weenie looking for a bun. Pickle an onion. I'm unhappy.
All right.
Yikes.
Dick Two-Ton Baker with I'm a Little Beanie. Dick Two-Ton Baker.
All right, Dick Two-Ton Baker.
With I'm a Little Weenie.
There you go.
That's from the 40s. Isn't that great?
Hey, fresh out of my email, I should mention this.
Yes.
The good folks over at Vinegar Syndrome are having their third annual Valentine's Day weekend sale this weekend.
Oh, for DVDs.
If you like a particular type of film... which is a type of film
that you're
going to keep in your sock drawer.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all on sale. 50% off, 150 titles. Yeah. They do their own scan. This is how they started, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was digging up like prints and negatives of old porns.
Yes.
And putting them out. And now they do like all kinds of great stuff.
Nice.
So
Marlboro Country in the background, the promotional item from Marlboro. Back in the early 90s.
Welcome to Flavor Country.
I think I played this once. It's amazing. It's 7 minutes of you being on Marlboro Country, and they smoke, they have coffee, they have a stampede, and there's Elmer Bernstein in the background.
They live the way men used to live.
That's right.
In Marlboro Country.
Taking us out there. So Vinegar Syndrome.
Yeah.
How much to save? 20%?
Some of these will be floating around like $20. Some will be like $30. It's...
Listen to those hosses.
I like their horror stuff. They're putting out a lot of really interesting stuff over there, but
yeah.
They still keep a foot in the world of vintage erotica.
Oh, did you see any of the new Oscar movies? I tried to watch something, but I never got a chance to.
I watched
I
Black,
ordered
I watched the Black Panthers. The Wakanda Forever.
I went for a ticket for Avatar. I've canceled on Avatar 5 times now. I've bought the ticket, and then I'm like, something else came up, working or whatever, and I'm just like, I'll go see it another time.
Yeah.
So I didn't catch up on any of those this week.
I'm not that fired up about that or the silent movie.
Yeah.
I probably should see the silent movie.
It's not silent, though.
It is.
The women talking?
Yeah, it's a silent
movie.
But
I've seen the trailer. They're talking.
I don't hear anything when I watch it.
There's people in a bomb. They're like in a barn, and they're talking in a barn the whole movie.
No, it's a silent film.
Really?
You're so not married.
Really?
Yeah.
The women talking.
You're so not married.
No, they're all like women in a barn, and they're talking about how there's been something happening.
Married men cannot hear a thing in that scene.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's true.
It's like being on the campfire. Listen to that. Doesn't that sound like Marlboro Country in the back?
Yeah, it's Welcome to Marlboro Country.
Pretty good.
Welcome to Flavor Country.
You ever go out to Arizona and go to like Brady Bunch, go to like the Old West town and then take the mule down and put some beans in a flashlight and do all that?
I've been to Arizona.
Yeah.
I did not go to the Dude Ranch.
Yeah, the old six-gun town.
Get lost in a cave or pick up a Hawaiian tiki that cursed everybody.
Oh,
I didn't do any
one.
Of those things.
That's a good one.
But yeah, I've been to Arizona. It smells weird in Arizona. Have you ever been out there?
It's very dry, very acrid.
Yeah, no, there's like a weird smell in the air.
Yeah.
Like all the time.
Horse pucky. Yeah.
It's cattle. No, it's just like some
poo
kind
everywhere.
Of like something that hangs in that air.
A lot of steam, a lot of dust.
It's kind of sweet.
They call it the Dust Bowl, don't they?
Yeah.
Or is that a little further up?
No, that was a little further east.
That's further east.
Oklahoma was the Dust Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Dump.
You ever been to Oklahoma?
God. Arizona was just... You know, hey, let's build houses in the middle of the desert.
Oklahoma's like one of my bottom 5 states. Awful. You been there?
I haven't been to Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's lousy.
I haven't had a reason to go there.
Don't. It's awful. They got a Shuckey's there. That's about it. And the Golden Corral.
It can't be worse than West Virginia.
If you want buffets, go to Oklahoma.
Have you been to West Virginia?
Yeah, West Virginia's all right.
West Virginia sucks.
Yeah, you can get into some trouble there.
West Virginia's where...
Depends on where you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you can get into some real trouble there if you want
to.
Yeah,
you go to the Ozarks.
You know, yeah.
You ain't coming back sometimes.
Yeah.
Louisiana's the most dangerous place I've been to, though. New Orleans. Most dangerous place I've ever been to. Oklahoma was like the fattest place I've ever been to. Everybody was fat. Everybody had... I fit right in. But everybody had the Golden Corrals and the Shuckies and the Shoneys.
Well, they're eating steak and corn all the time. And, you know, that gathers around your midsection if you eat enough of it.
Yeah, it's good, though.
It is.
It's delicious.
It is.
I went out and I had to help a systems analyst there on a job years ago. And I bought a lunch. And then I went home and she had a stroke like the next week after we went to the Golden Corral.
Yikes.
I'm like, oh, no. Yeah, and she ended up leaving that job. So, anyway, we filled that spot eventually, but that was the last time I had to go to Oklahoma for a while.
Hopefully not with somebody else from Oklahoma.
I do have to say, I did go to another state, though, and I said to the woman there, we went out for a mile walk, and I said, if you do this every day, after 30 days, you've gone 30 miles, and you're well on your way to an exercise regimen.
Nice.
I saw her 5 years later at the MS Society National Convention that had Squiggy and Terry Gar there, and she said, Chris, I have to thank you. I've been doing a mile every day ever since I saw you 5 years ago.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
Wow.
Yeah.
You
it's
actually
just like it's a wonderful life.
You motivated somebody.
I know.
That's not like you.
I know.
Usually you motivate people to like leap off of
things. I'm a demotivational speaker.
Drink Drano.
Yeah.
You know, it's wow.
No, I try to do the Lord's work from time to time.
I'm
Mellow Max is coming up next, and wow, he's got a lot of guests. I bet you he's training these guys.
I know.
They are going to be future WMFOers. We are your crystal ball into the future. We've been here for 15 years, combined between the two of us, like 30 years of on-the-air radio, entertaining America, mostly Medford.
Stay tuned for the audio hijinks, missed faders, and dropped cues, because it's coming.
That's true. All right, Mr. Derek Gary, happy early Valentine's Day. Happy Super Bowl weekend. And this has been What Is This?
I love
WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. See you next week, everybody.